SportsCentral.com.
Not waste a single second. It's the first day of March. Can you believe that? And don't give me that, yeah, obviously March follows February nonsense, because I know people who didn't know yesterday was the 29th of February and who didn't know what a leap year was. I have people arguing here in the office whether a leap year meant one day more or one day less of every year.
Yeah.
I wish I was kidding. It's true.
It was a special 5 minutes of my life as well, Gareth.
Ben loves being right, you know. And,
no, it's not that. It really
you
is
don't.
Not that.
Please. Oh, bitch, please. You love being right.
It's just a lack of awareness for your surroundings that I find very, very curious.
There's a poem we learned at school. Do you know this one? The one that I told you yesterday?
Gareth, you know I went to school to basically swap comics and play sport.
That's right.
I learned nothing.
Fair enough. Except that it seems you learned better arithmetic than all of us.
Oh, that's just addition or subtraction, really.
Flax, do you remember that poem I said yesterday about the months, how it works?
Something, 24, I can't remember it.
Okay, well, basically, just to fill you in, Gareth recites this poem like we should all know it. It went over everyone's
Dory
head
knew it.
So
hot.
Yeah,
Dory knew it.
Dory's intelligent, okay?
Yeah, but that's no, it's not about intelligence, it's just access to information. The quickest, easiest way to remember how many days there are in a month. Easiest thing in the world is I learned this rhyme once, and now I can check any time. 30 days hath September, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31, except for February alone, which has but 28 days clear and 29 in each leap year. Works. Every time. You're never going to catch me going, oh, how many days in November? 30. Go on, test me.
And there's that thing with your knuckles as well. You can...
Yeah, you can do that, but that's way more. Now, that's higher grade. That's past my abilities.
Anyway, when you threw this to the floor yesterday, it went over heads faster than, like, a six at a cricket match. Wow. I'm just staring at you going, huh?
So how do people know how many days there are in the month? Do they have to look it up every time?
You look at your cell phone calendar.
Gareth, every answer is you look at your cell phone.
Yeah, that's pretty much the answer for everything these days. Yeah. No, look, you're not wrong. Have they changed the rules around direct messages on Twitter? Anyone can send you a DM?
In your settings, you can change it.
So please, I've got to do that because I'm suddenly getting... I mean, I'm hardly going onto Twitter and I'm getting DMs from people. I need to figure this out right now. I'm sorry that this is not exactly what I planned to bring you this morning in terms of entertaining radio, but I got to figure this out.
I think originally the plan was that you can only DM someone if they follow you, and then something changed that you can...
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I've got to find out where that is.
I legit just plucked the biggest pube from my microphone.
Oh.
Honestly, this thing is like half a meter long.
You're kidding.
I just tweeted out a photo of it. It is how the hell did it even get there?
Let me see. Hang on. First, most importantly, let me edit this. Let me figure out how this thing works. Do you go into edit profile? I mean, how do you change your settings here?
I'm not sure, Gareth.
Messages.
I would imagine settings is the way to start.
Ugh, I can't. I don't know how. I'll do it later. It's going to drive me mad if I try to do it now. I know what's going to happen. Distract me and it'll be a disaster. Let me see this picture. Ugh. You think it's a pube or do you just think it's someone's hair?
No, that's
might just be
definitely
someone's
a pube.
Hair. I think it might be someone's hair.
Who on this microphone has a beard?
Well, a lot of people have beards. You know how many people have beards at the moment? And it's so disgusting.
Yeah.
I can't stand a beard. Someone was telling me the other day that the beard starts to smell sour if you don't wash it every day.
Oh.
Isn't that disgusting?
Jesus.
Yeah. And all these people, all these hipsters are going around with their big beards. I don't think women like it. I don't think other guys are jealous of it. I think it's a horrible thing to have.
I saw a hipster's kid on the weekend. Honestly, the happiest kid.
What do you mean?
Because they're so relaxed. Their parenting style's so chilled that the kids are actually much happier. It was the happiest kid at this party I was at.
Well, you know, you did hear Rich yesterday talking about how the kids are not relaxed and they behave badly. And he saw that one kid... in the skiing village or whatever it was where they were, having a temper tantrum. You get good ones, you get bad ones. It's like fruit.
Yeah, but most of the kids' behavior you can pin on the parenting style.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, that's exactly right.
If you have a chilled parenting style, then obviously your kid will be more relaxed, more open-minded. If you're strict and harsh, your kid's going to be more secure, like closed off and stuff like that, I think.
Well, there's a balance. It's a delicate thing.
Imagine.
By the way, speaking of parenting, have you told your mother you're moving out yet?
So, I went to collect the keys yesterday, and my mom phoned me on the way back, and I hate lying, so she asked me what I'm doing, and I panicked, and I said, I just went to go look at the place, and she goes, what place?
Mm-mm.
So I'm like,
just bear in mind, for everybody who doesn't know the story, Flax's mother is, she's raised him like a veal, and she's kind of protective.
She suckled me.
Yeah. Until you were how old?
Still to this day, she wants me in her house under
Bitty,
her wing.
Bitty. Anyway, so she doesn't know that he wants to move in at least part-time with his girlfriend. That's fair to say, right?
Yeah.
Okay. She has no idea. This woman has... She basically made him lunch many more years into adulthood than she needed to. She knows everything about his health. She's involved in every aspect of his life. And now he's about to drop the bomb on her. And say, Mom, I'm moving out. This is going to hit her hard, dude, like a ton of bricks.
So she's a great mother, but over-caring, over-loving.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I said, like she's raised you like a veal.
So I panicked, and she goes, what house? So I'm like, just the one I've been looking at. She goes, Michael, I don't think right now is a good time for you to be moving out.
Of course you knew she was going to say that.
And then I'm like,
that.
I got to drive, there's cops, I got to put the phone down. And then she hasn't said anything.
But you got home and there was no talk of this.
I avoided. Because I'm probably going to be moving out next week.
Oh, you're going to have to discuss this with her. If you move out without having a proper discussion with her, it's going to kill her.
I just don't know how to go about it. Her, it's the biggest thing ever. Her son's now moving out her nest. She's going to have empty nest syndrome.
Michael, what about the brother you never mentioned? What's his housing situation?
Oh, he lives at home.
And he's there for life, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that doesn't help your plight.
He's a firstborn.
Okay, but now you're the apple of your mother's eye.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you move out, she's going to be distraught. You have to have this conversation with her. You want me to coach you?
Yeah, you can.
Right, you be your mum, because you know...
We just have the conversation here. Should we get her in?
No, we've got to listen. You can't drop a bombshell like this on the poor woman. All right, so you know your mother well. You be her. Mom, I need to talk to you about something.
Yes, of course, lovey. What is it?
Mom, you know, me and my girlfriend, it's going very well. I'm so happy. I'm having a really good time with her. Everything's amazing. We've, you know, been away a couple of weekends together, and she's back now, and... You know, it's going well. There's some things happening.
And?
And she's going to be buying her own place.
And good for her.
Yeah, I'm very pleased that she could do that.
I'm happy for her as well.
And Mom, you know I love you. And you know I would never, ever... Forget about or ignore or any of that stuff. You're the best mom I could ever have wished for.
Michael, what are you trying to say?
Mom, I might spend a couple of nights a week at her house.
Why? You have it so good at home. You have meals prepared for you. You have your washing done.
I feel like it would be good if I didn't spend every night here and I was able to... kind of have my own space a little bit, you know?
No, you know what, Michael? This is non-negotiable. You're staying at home, and if you want to move out, Mommy and Me card and the petrol is on you.
Oh, shit. All right, I give up.
Exactly.
Is that what's going to happen?
It's between a brick and a hard place. I can either be busting on the streets, or I can live at home.
Damn. Isn't it worth just staying at home if you've got it so good?
It is. That's why I need to make two bases.
No, you got to be careful. You spread yourself thin. Where are you going to keep your clothes, for example?
Exactly. That's why I got to have two wardrobes now. I got to lead two lives.
So, Michael, what does your girlfriend say about this? Because obviously you guys have talked about this. It's a big step moving in with someone.
Mm.
So what does she suggest you do with regards to your mother?
Well, she wants to actually speak to my mother, but now she's scared too.
Listen, what you got to watch out for, and Kala makes a good point here on WeChat this morning. He says, with the angle that I took, Flax's mom is going to end up blaming the girlfriend and resenting her.
Yeah, that's what my girlfriend's also scared of.
You don't want that.
I think that's going to happen anyway, guys.
She's scared my mom's going to see her as this girl that now's taking her son away.
Mm, yeah, you got to watch out for that.
Because if I hadn't met her, then I wouldn't be moving out the house.
What's your angle here? You've got to have an angle.
There's no possible angle. You've legit got to just...
bear the storm.
Yeah, you got to take the shock bite.
Band-aid.
Yeah, then you're going to be like, Mom, all right. I know you know. If you want to cut me loose, that's fine, Mom. Got to make this move.
Get her a puppy, Michael. Say, here's a puppy. I'm leaving. Ciao.
No, that won't work.
Of course it will. Who doesn't like a puppy?
Well, she'll hate the puppy if the puppy replaces Michael.
I mean, the puppy will be kind of similar to you after about 8 drinks.
I got to do it one day this week, so I think I'm just going to do the Band-Aid one.
Find the day where she's the busiest.
And a puppy.
The busy, she's busy every day.
Well, find the day she's the busiest. Ask her today when you get home. Hey, Mom, how's your week looking? Oh, Wednesday's a disaster. Okay, then you tell her Wednesday.
capitalize on a already bad day.
Yeah, because she's already, you know, got a lot going on.
This might be the hardest thing I have to do.
For now, there will be other things in your life that will be harder.
Oh, and one thing awesome I did yesterday, I paid a prepaid electricity thing. So basically, I did it from my phone, and it goes straight to this device, and I got like 100 kilowatts or something like that. Anyone know how long that's going to last?
No idea. Does anyone know? If you know, please call us, because we need to figure this out.
I mean, that could be 100 rand if it cost me a day's worth of electricity.
Oh, that'll be interesting. Yeah, what if it only lasts you a few hours and you've spent all this money?
Like, honestly, who tells you how much a kilowatt gets you?
I don't know. Is there a chart or something?
Nothing.
Can't you look online?
Absolutely nothing.
Did you look online?
Well, I asked Google, what does a kilowatt get me? And, hold on 1 second. Cliff Central, hello.
All right. It's Tuesday. I said earlier, it's already the month of March. Now, March is... it's not my favorite month traditionally, but I mean, January was so shit that any other month this year is bound to be better. And the reason I don't like it is it starts getting darker, and you could feel winter creeping in.
Yeah, we're now in sumptum.
Sumptum, is that what you call it?
Well, it goes from summer to autumn. It's like this blessed 2-week period, and then it's just autumn.
Sumptum.
It's cold out there in the morning.
All right, do you want to go to Ian? Maybe he's got some advice for Flax on this whole thing. Hey, Ian, good morning.
Morning, how are you guys?
Good, man, what's up?
A couple of things. You know, I'm listening to you guys chat now, and I've been listening to you guys from the beginning since you left that awful, godly, terrible place, SABC.
Thank you.
Do you remember how Flax used to be, that slut in the club vibe? Now I look at him, it's bizarre to you, in a different... in a different way.
Do you think this is the real Flax, or do you think that slut in the club was the real Flax?
No, this is by far the real Flax. It's just funny to hear, you know, like getting, you know, you used to go and get a loungy area with a bottle of vodka, and pull all the chicks and flirt with them and all that kind of stuff to hear and all.
Right.
So I think this is the real guy. Nice, better, you know. Real nice. Blacker to be loved.
You know what? It's also he's settling in and he's becoming a human.
No, absolutely, yeah.
Before he was like a wild feral animal. So it is good.
Hey, the other thing, kilowatts wise, generally if you've got a geyser on and it's a small flat, you're probably gonna use it like 30 to 40, 60, probably maybe even 25.
In a month?
If you put the geyser off no in a day.
30 odd kilowatts in a day.
In a day, you use 30 units. Oof. Not kilowatts, 30 units. So
okay.
Whatever the unit. So on your generally speaking, if you put the geyser off, it probably can go right down to about 10 or 8 or 15 or somewhere around there.
So, Flax, how much did you buy?
I put 100 rand in, and it took it from 46 kilowatts to 112 kilowatts.
How long will 112 kilowatts last him?
If you've got the geyser on without a timer, it's about 30 kilowatts a day. That's quite it's about 20 on a flat or a small place, I'd say. Or maybe 18.
All right, so 20. So in other words, this should last him if he doesn't switch his geezer off and he doesn't have a timer on the geezer, and I don't think you do, then it's going to last you, what, four or five days?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that'll be 400 rand a month on electricity. Is that bad?
That's nothing.
Easily.
Yeah, it's nothing. But if you put a timer on there, you'll cut that in half. Farmers are the most underrated things you can put into your house.
Oh, Flex, you're about to see the real world in a nasty, cruel way.
Welcome to the real world, baby.
Yeah. Listen to how much Ian is enjoying this. All right, thank you,
Ian. I've got three kids, bud. Yeah. You know this.
Bye-bye.
All right, cheers, bud.
Thanks, bro. Yeah, you see, Flex, all these things. People go, I've got to buy a place. And they look at the price of the place and they go, oh, I can just cover that a month, right? And then you realize, oh, no, but there's water and electricity and
rates
and taxes and maintenance. There's always stuff to do. You have to fix things. It's hell. It's hell out there. Being an adult's just not what it's cracked up to be. Hey, Sia.
Good morning.
Isn't that right?
I am going to stay at home for as long as possible.
Yeah, you must. Oh, please. I was talking to someone the other day, and they said to me they stayed at home with their parents until they were 31 years old, and eventually the house burnt down.
No.
And he had to move out. And he still thinks his mother actually set fire to the house just to get him out. That's how desperate. How do you like that? Yeah, for real.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Michael, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Cool. What are you up to, dude?
I'm on my way to work.
Good.
I just want to say, the thing, a geezer doesn't take for a small flat 25 to 30 kilowatts. If you're using 25 to 30 kilowatts in a whole flat for the whole day, it's sort of all right. So the geezer is probably more like 10. And also, it depends on the time of the year, the heat related.
It sounds like no one has any fucking idea how much this electricity costs.
I have a household with two people,
yeah,
and I run 400 kilowatts a month.
Wow,
so
okay.
That's including the geezer, that's including all your household stuff. So, yeah, and it also depends on the tariff you buy. So the first 0 to 350, you pay the lower tariff,
yeah.
350 to...
What I want to know is, if you run out of electricity, like let's say you're on this pay-as-you-go thing, and you run out, your lights suddenly go off, can you quickly top it up and then your lights come back on, or do you have to wait like 3 days?
No, you just pay, like I pay online, so then it just takes about 10 minutes and they send the code and you punch the code in and that's all right.
Oh,
normally
I
let my alarm company let me know because then my alarm goes off, so then they tell me, oh, my electricity is out.
And this is better than paying like I do, where the council just tells me how much every month.
I wouldn't say it's better. I'll just say that's what was in the house when I got it. So,
it's another goddamn thing to administer, right?
Yeah, like I have a debit order set to go off every month to pay electricity and send me a code.
Okay.
And then I put the code on and yeah, that's it.
All right. Okay, dude. Yeah. Thank you. C-Flex.
Summer's much cheaper than winter, like heavy cheaper, yeah.
Yeah. C-Flex, okay. You're getting good advice from people. Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Good, huh?
You know how big a deal this is in Michael's life right now? In that it's Justin Bieber's birthday today, and he did not open with that.
Hey, is it?
I was waiting for news, but if you want to talk about that...
No, Michael, it just shows where you're heading in life, all the right directions. You're talking about real-world problems now, and you didn't bring up Justin Bieber's birthday, so I'm very impressed with you.
He's getting so many calls this morning. It's keeping him busy. All right, Yonder says... it all depends on usage. I have a place with a full-on geezer and stove and fridge and permanent items that are on average. I use 60 units a week, but I go to gym 3 times a week, so I don't wash at home. And the girlfriend does. I use 300 units a month, or more or less, mostly. Okay, I still don't entirely understand.
Because it's the units and kilowatts thing.
Yeah.
They're not the same thing.
Hey, Penny, what's up?
Hey, I'm phoning to tell you about electricity.
Hey, Penny, I remember your call from the other day.
Yeah.
How are you doing? How's that head injury going?
Yeah, I know. It's permanent.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't sound too bad. You seem pretty articulate.
Yeah, I'm just lucky.
Yeah, I work with those guys at Headway. There's some of them that they're not so functional, you know?
Yeah, I know. That's why I couldn't go to Headway. I did go there, but it just freaked me out too much.
So what are your limitations? What can't you do?
Well, I can't work because as soon as I get stressed, I freak out.
Okay, what is, what does that mean?
Then I end up in hospital.
Okay, but do you have a nervous breakdown?
Yeah, basically.
And how does that look? Do you scream and shout and, like, swing your arms around, or what happens?
No, I used to end up underneath my desk crying.
Oh, wow.
And then I wanted to kill myself.
Oh.
And they knew that the best place for me then was to put me back into the psychiatric hospital.
Yeah, I wouldn't hire you. That sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, and it was more expensive to pay for the psychiatric hospital than if I had a job.
Hmm. Are you on regular meds?
I used to be on regular meds, but then I've moved to a little Pondorky town called East London where I don't see people.
Yes, that's a town of poverty. That's.
Yeah, but that I don't see anyone. I go for walks on the beach.
Yes.
And I stay away from everyone. I've gone off all my meds, except for my epileptic medication.
Right.
And it's just, it's easier because the meds weren't doing anything because they couldn't figure out what I did.
Well, I'm glad you're okay, and it seems like you've got things under control. Who do you live with? Other people?
No, just myself.
All on your own?
All on my own with my two cats.
You have heavy security there?
Yeah, two cats.
I live in a complex.
Oh, okay, so you're safe.
Yeah, yeah.
Just be careful of those walks on the beach. Dalian Poffel went for a walk on the beach in East London once. He got robbed.
Yeah, no, I go to a safe beach.
All right. And yeah. East London, I mean, is that a nice place to live?
Well, you see, my brother lives here.
Because
my boyfriend killed himself. And seven months later, my father died.
Oh, what a life. Penny. No wonder you're hiding under your desk and crying the whole time.
Yeah, so I had to get away from Durban because I didn't like the memories.
Sure.
And, yeah, so I came here. And
I feel like I need to buy you prepaid electricity this morning.
Well, no, but I do have to buy my own prepaid electricity.
Okay, how does that go?
And I do turn my geyser off every day. I only turn it on for about half an hour a day. And it's 500 Rand for electricity a month.
That's not bad. You've got that down to a fine art.
Yes, but what I do is, because electricity is going up in June, I buy extra now so that I've got extra when electricity goes up.
This electricity stuff's boring. I want to talk about you again. Can I go back to you?
Oh, me?
Yeah. I like talking about you. All right, so you've got this this head injury and you're on some epileptic medication, but otherwise you do normal stuff?
I don't do normal anything. I stay at home and I make things.
What do you make?
Out of stuff I collect on the beach.
What, like shells and stuff?
Yeah, I collect sea urchins and shells and driftwood, and I make things out of them.
Huh.
And I do paintings.
All right. Sounds like you're productive in your own little way.
Yeah, I am. And then every now and then when I get really brave, I go to a flea market and sell stuff.
But you don't like too many people around, right?
No, that's why I have to be very brave to go to a flea market.
Yeah. Can't you just take some kind of pill to calm you down and then the people won't bother you so much?
No, it doesn't help.
It doesn't help. Sure.
No.
And tell
me,
living on your own with the cats, do you look all bedraggled and you're like an old crone and you let your hair go on?
No, I actually dress better than most people in East London.
Well, okay, yeah. But then in the land of the...
That doesn't really say much.
Exactly. In the land of the blind, the one-eyed is king. Wow, Penny.
No,
So you look after yourself. All right, I'm glad to hear that.
One of the main reasons I went off all the medication is it made me put on weight. Mm-hmm. I put on 20 kilograms just from the medication.
Wow.
Because it's a side effect.
You know what else does that? University.
No, university is great.
No, I've seen some attractive women get very unattractive very quickly in first year at varsity.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I'm joking. All right, listen, Penny, it's always good to hear from you.
Thank you. And you have a lovely day.
You call us anytime.
Thank you.
All right.
Wow. Okay.
There we go.
Bye.
Thank you. Lots and lots of advice pouring in on electricity, but I am bored to death with this conversation. I could care less about how much Flax spends on electricity every month. Will you figure it out yourself? There's plenty of info.
Well, I'll see over the months and I'll give some feedback.
No, but look, there are all these people helping you out.
Yeah, no, this is very helpful.
I mean, here's Ankia says, we're a family of three, washing and tumble. I mean, I don't want to know about your washing and tumble drying clothes, Ankia. Really, thank you, but no thank you. Lubabalo says, I still buy prepaid electricity. It's the way to go. And Yonder, it's all depending on usage. So there's lots and lots of people letting you know, Flex. You've got a whole research group that you can talk to now. Got it?
Thank you, thank you.
All right. Sia, what's happening with you, man?
I just want Flex to discuss what really matters, and that's his housewarming party and when I'll be allowed to visit him.
Yeah, do you want...
Liz and I are BFFs. That's
all right, that's Liz's girlfriend.
Mm. Michael's girlfriend.
How big is this place? Can you have a party there?
2 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms.
Yeah, you don't want to have too many people.
Oh, I also don't want to switch too many lights on.
Yeah, clearly after all this.
Yeah, if I'm going around, I'm switching every light on.
And by the way, Flex, if you're going to make a good impression on all the neighbors, because you're in a complex, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to have a huge party on the first night and upset everybody.
You see, the complex I'm in, it's mainly youngsters. I probably no one older than 40 is there.
You watch, someone will bitch and complain.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. All right, I got lots of things to talk to you about this morning, lots to show you. I've got a clip of this dude who's talking about how... Do you remember that guy the other day who was so angry about something and I played the clip and he sounds so weird, he's got that English accent? He's going on about how music today is just completely formulaic and it's all bullshit and the intellectual quality of lyrics in music has dropped to an all-time low. That's what this guy says. I got to play this for you because he's all fired up. Plus, I heard a lot of people talking about this yesterday, and I got lots and lots of emails about it, too. John Oliver went ballistic on Donald Trump on his show. John Oliver does this show, and once a week he finds some issue that America needs to pay attention to. And this week it was Donald Trump. I can't play it. It's 20 minutes that he goes on about this. Every single minute is worth you paying attention to. If you hop on the internet today at any time, this will be worth a couple of minutes of your life.
That's the only problem with these clips. They're too good because you have to watch the whole thing.
Yeah, I could play you little bits of it, but it would do it no justice. So rather than do that and waste your time and kind of get you all excited about having a proper meal of it, I'm going to leave it out and let you do it. All right. But John Oliver, Donald Trump, he lays into him. He calls him a bullshit artist. He talks about what his name really... The Trump is a made-up name. It actually comes from Drumpf or Drumpf. And he says we must change Donald's name back to Drumpf. Make Donald Drumpf again.
Really?
No, that's his idea. Anyway, it's all very, very clever. And by the way, we'll talk to Warren Holstein, who's in America. He'll tell us about what's going on in politics there at the moment, what's going on with the Oscars. I said Chris Rock yesterday did a really fantastic job as host, but the ratings... The lowest in, I think it's 14 years. So that can't make Chris Rock very happy. It can't make the Academy very happy. So clearly, Sia, the black protest worked.
Well, that's very surprising, though, because I would have thought that, you know, I even just wanted to watch myself because of this whole scandal around it. But other than that, actually, there wasn't much excitement around the Oscars this year.
Or Leo DiCaprio.
But the thing is, even at its best, it's a boring show. It really is mostly a boring show.
Right.
And it's very long.
I couldn't be bothered to watch that. But for a lot of South Africans, you would have seen it last night for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, unless you wanted to wake up at 3 in the morning.
To think of it, I just saw a few programs on E! They do a countdown, which is about 4 or 5 hours before.
Mm-hmm. And crazy. Imagine watching that. Imagine watching that plus the Oscar ceremony. Are you mad?
It finished something to midnight, American.
You'd have
time.
To be high and unemployed to be able to watch the Oscars.
Or unable to get out of your couch.
It's what a waste of time. And to see all these pampered assholes busy congratulating each other the whole way through the evening. No, thank you. Could do without it.
Did you see the superficial, the even more superficial thing that they added to the show this year?
What's that?
Certain categories had pre-prepared well, prepared, of course, prepared speeches.
Yeah.
So when the winner was announced, they stood up, and to save time, their speech scrolled at the bottom of the screen. So it says, Ben Karpinski would like to thank, and all the names are there. I just think
who cares? Nobody's going to read that. What a lot of self-indulgent bullshit.
Like movie credits.
Can you imagine them droning on about, and the guy who wins best dolly grip wants to thank his grandmother, Felicia.
It's all there.
Do me a favor. All right, lots of stuff to get to. We've got Ben Sport coming up next. We've got Anthea with the money markets. And Nina Hastie's in with the news this morning. She's going to be giving us her take on what's going on in the news, which is always good. And it's nice to catch up with Nina. She was on fire yesterday on TG Squared. And they did an unbelievable show at Carnival with Bitches Be Back. Apparently it was a sellout crowd and everybody was on their feet the whole time. Either because they wanted to storm the stage and kill those bitches, or because they actually loved it. We'll find out from Nina in a moment.
Yeah. Yesterday on TG Squared, she had these dudes that if you run out of booze at a party, they'll deliver it to your house.
Oh, I love that. You see, this is where this country is going to... This is entrepreneurship in its purest form. These guys, you phone them, they're called Puza Brigade. Something. What is it? Puza what?
Patrol.
Patrol, right. Puza Patrol. These guys, you can phone them at like 10 o'clock on a Sunday night when you and your friends are sitting at home and you've run out of booze. And you can get hold of them, and they will find booze, and they'll bring it to you. Because there's nothing worse than those rules about liquor stores on a Sunday, that church law bullshit that we had to endure, where they close that stuff over a weekend. Unbelievable. So these guys, Puza Patrol. Anyway, good idea. We'll get to that and a whole lot of other stuff in a moment. Ben Karpinski, Sport. Let's get straight into that, Ben. No time to waste. I don't want to mess you around. What have you got for us this morning?
I've got rugby, I've got football, and I've got cricket.
Can we start with rugby?
Sure thing, Gareth. You know, the Springboks still don't have a coach, right? So
what's happening there?
Speculation was that as soon as Heinie Kamea was given the arse, that it was going to be Alistair Coetzee, the guy who coached in Japan previously from the Stormers. And then it became a bit murky, you know, he's not going to be able to coach the Springboks because he's still contracted to the Japanese team. And then Rusty Rasmus is probably going to get the job because he's been a shoo-in for so long. Well, Rusty says no thanks. He's ruled himself out of this. Because when you think about this Bok job, right, if you've got something going on in your life, you're not going to take this.
Yeah.
If you don't have something going on in your life, you will take this job. Because it's a poison chalice if there ever was one.
Oh, some,
you will get fired from this job in a very, very dramatic sense. That's not me being negative. That's what's going to happen. Yeah. As soon as you sign the dotted line, people are sharpening knives for you already.
Right.
So Rusty's got his shit together, you know. He's a very smart guy, and he's doing a lot of things behind the scenes. Taking the Bok job would just be stupid. It really would be stupid. It would be like you becoming like something in the ANC for an easy paycheck. It'd be a silly thing to do.
It's one of those jobs that you just can't win. Oh, it doesn't matter what you do. Even if you end up being the greatest coach ever and you win 20 matches in a row, they're still going to find a reason to hate you. And anything that goes wrong after the 20th match that you've won, 21st match you lose, you're gone.
Or in the case of Nick Mallett, you be the best coach and then you say ticket prices are far too high for the average fan and they go, oh, what's that? Bye, Nick.
Sorry. Yeah, bye-bye.
On your bike. Speaking of Mallett, he's also turned down the Bok selector job. So there was also speculation around Bok selectors, because not only do we not have a coach, we haven't got selectors either, because the old ones, and they really were old. I mean, we're talking walking sticks.
Is that like those old men that used to belong to those skull and bone societies?
Pretty much. And they, you know,
because they're half skull and bones.
And these guys throw the bones and then the Springbok team gets picked.
Magic.
So we haven't even got those anymore. And people were saying that maybe Nick Mallett was going to be a shoo-in for this one as well. And no, of course, Nick Mallett makes money at Supersport, where whatever he does is perfect. Why would these guys ever want to leave good, cushy, high-paying jobs where they're always right? I mean, it's just, it's silly. It really is. I think a bit more newspaper headlines at the end of the day. So, no coach, no selectors.
So what you're saying is some loser is going to take this job.
Which is how sports admin guys work.
Yeah.
They always end up with the losers. Look at the guys. Look at Cheeky Watson, that prick in the Eastern Cape, ruining SA Rugby, what should be the breadbasket of rugby talent in this country. He is a giant prick, right? But he got it because he had nothing else. He just thought he would... He's pulling and he's weaving and he's dealing. He was a guy that made a big deal about playing rugby in the townships during apartheid, right? He was this really amazing human being, you know. He was for the cause. He was part of the struggle. But he's an absolute dick. and all of this. He was doing it because he wanted to make money. And he was involved in tenders, and he's a real piece of shit. Anyway, he's ruined in rugby in the Eastern Cape. Why? Because people who would have been better at the job already had shit to do.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that is just where our sport works. Right. On the field stuff now, before I get too hot and bothered, Dwayne Vermeulen really wants to be the captain of the Springboks. And here's a story I can actually believe. So when you look at it, Dwayne is playing in France right now in the big money Toulon team. So chances of him being the next spot captain aren't very good because they're essentially going to want to pick a home-based guy. But when you think of all the other options who either overseas or retired, who's to say he's not going to be the best option as a skipper? You know he's going to be a first-choice player because we haven't got an eighth man that comes close to Dwayne. He just showed in the World Cup after that horrific neck injury. He's an incredible player, and he will lead from the front and all that kind of stuff you want from a captain. So don't just discredit him just yet, even though he is overseas-based. Look, I believe a long time ago they should have given it to Francois Loh, because I think he probably would have been the best captain. And even though he is stationed in Bath, and he's been playing in England for quite a while, he's a really good player as well. You need someone in that loose trio. I think that's where the best captains are always in rugby. On to football. And surprise, surprise, Gareth, this Gianni Infantino has been in the job for, well, a matter of hours. And guess what's already been levelled at him?
Corruption.
He bought the votes.
Oi. But isn't that almost something he should be proud of?
But exactly, you almost feel like saying, yeah, that's how elections work.
If you run for the FIFA job, yeah.
The outspoken Palermo president, now this is a guy, Maurizio Zamparini, he's not scared of calling a spade, and he even said, if I get sanctioned for this comment, I will be honored. He's happy to just to kind of poke the bear with this one.
All right.
But when you think about it, it's like Infantino was never in the running, right? It was that Platini guy. Now, Platini was going to be Sepp's successor. But then because he got banned, UEFA needed to make sure that their power was still sort of secured, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is where this Infantino came from. He didn't come because he was going to be the next great maverick in football. He became because they had to secure the power for essentially whites. I mean, let's be honest. There's no way someone who wasn't white was going to get this job. They want to keep the power in Europe in their little base, and Infantino was just the next proxy to go do it. That's all it was. Shit. And here they are going, this Maurizio Zamparini. Yeah, good on you. More people like him in the world. Obviously, he bought votes. Like I said yesterday, that he spent 500,000 euros of UEFA money touring the world in a goodwill gesture and getting in touch with football.
Yeah,
bullshit. He went around the world with
campaigning.
Money, just like Sepp has done, just like any other politician or administrator has ever done. We see your lies, okay? Mm. We see through this crap nowadays. Enough. We're not stupid.
Yep.
On to actual football. Well, there is English Premier League action today and tomorrow. But before we get to that quickly, I would like to just talk about the fact that the two top teams look like they're going to be the two top teams running in now.
Mm-hmm.
That is Leicester and Spurs. They've both got 11 games to go. Leicester are currently on 56 points. Spurs are on 54. But if you look at Leicester's run-in, okay, in those next 11 games, they play just four teams who are currently in the top 10 of the log. They play just one team who's in the top five. So they've got a pretty easy run-in. They've got no distractions like the Champions League or the FA Cup or anything like that. They all have to do is focus on these 11 matches. Claudio Ranieri is a very shrewd tactician, a great manager, and he'll get the most out of these guys. They just need to do well for 11 more matches. I'm not saying they need to win them all, just need to be ahead of Spurs. Spurs, on the other hand, they've still got Europa League, which they're in, and they hope to one day win, seeing as they can't make the Champions League, until now, of course. Mm-hmm. But they played six teams in the top 10 of the log, and two teams in the top five. One could argue that Chelsea is also a team that's going to be quite difficult to beat. Both of these teams do play Chelsea. It's Spurs' third last match, and it's Leicester's last match. But you would think Leicester would get done before that final match to have any sort of upsets from Chelsea. So if you think there's any other team going to make a long, last-ditch effort for the title, I don't see it happening beyond Leicester and Spurs.
Okay.
Into those fixtures, the big one to look out for. So Norwich will host Chelsea tonight. All these games are at 9:45. Leicester versus West Brom and Aston Villa versus Everton, Bournemouth versus Southampton. And tomorrow we've got West Ham versus Spurs, also quarter to 10, Arsenal versus Swansea. Man United play Watford and Liverpool play Man City at 10 o'clock. Same for the Man United game, also 10 o'clock.
All right.
In local PSL action, well, I'd like to say it's got it on the field, but no, it's another off-the-field matter, Gareth. Bloom Celtics. Now, if you know anything about SA football, and even I know this, that Blimp Celtics, they're not really too bothered about the final result, right? Mm-hmm. The fans sing. That's what they do. They're the most jovial bunch of people. You know,
I did
like
not know this.
Where a lot of teams go and they just blow the vuvuzela and just create noise, these guys have songs and they dance and they are such a feature, right? But things turned nasty over the weekend. They actually started ripping up seats in the match against
the
Orlando Pirates.
What's the problem there?
They turned on Pirates fans and there was violence. Well, the story you'll read in the press is that they're not happy with Max Shabalala, okay? So he's essentially the guy who owns Blum Celtic, and now he wants to sell Blum Celtic on the back of all this violence. But if you scratch a little deeper, as a source that I shall not reveal has revealed to me, is that Shabalala is actually a bit of a proxy, and there's a lot more political wranglings happening around Celtic. So the fans aren't happy with who owns the club, what's happening with the club, and it's got nothing to do with football. They say it's ANC linked. They say there's some electioning going on here, looking for votes, looking for support, and football isn't the primary gain. So the fans feel a little bit disillusioned about what the team's really about nowadays. They want a change. They're acting out. And to think, you've got to do something really, really, really bad to piss off Celtics fans. Again, they don't get too bothered about the fact if they win or lose. They just want to sing and dance and have a good time. And this has always been the vibe of them. But it's a huge support base. I think it's probably the third biggest support base in the PSL. So if this team goes to crap, there's a lot of really, really upset supporters, right? They haven't won much in the last few games whatsoever. Mm-hmm. They're only a few points ahead of the relegation battle. So Shabalala wants to sell, and he says that he wants to sell to someone in the Free State so the team can stay there. But he's
probably picked this up for a steal because the team's not worth very much.
Well, they all have their own sort of intellectual capital properties and that kind of stuff. Look, if you're in the PSL and you stay in the PSL, there's still good money to be had here.
Okay.
And Celtics is an institution, you know. Like I said, probably the third biggest fan base. When you've got a big fan base, you can make lots of money. You've got to manage it properly. So anyway, Max Shabalala is saying that the violence is just too much for him, and the players are, you know, the fans hate him and they want him out. So he wants out of this whole deal. But I think there's a lot more at play here. And I'm hoping more can come to the surface so I can confirm all these other rumors. But on the field of play tonight, we'll have IS Cape Town versus Chipper United at 7:30 and SuperSport United versus Mamelodi Sundowns. So Sundowns, again, they're just going to kind of waltz in, I think.
Right.
They've got this. They really do. And then that will be that for tonight. That's pretty much it, Gareth. We've run out of time. Asia Cup T20, I'll bring you some more of that tomorrow, along with some more Super Rugby news. The Highlanders have a massive injury setback, which is a bit unfortunate for them. And that and a whole bunch else tomorrow. We've got the Aussies here, first game Friday in the T20 series.
All right, here's Anthea with some money. She looks hard for the money. That doesn't mean she's bringing you money or giving you free money. But maybe she can help you with this beautiful rendition of She Works Hard for the Money. That's why you wake up every morning to hear her finance news. Hard for the money. So hard for the money. It's the worst version of a song that I've ever heard in my life. All right, Anthea, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Gareth. I'm well, thanks. I can't believe you don't like my version of that song.
Oh, it's shocking. All right. It never ceases to completely ruin my morning. Anthea, what
was quite entertaining.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes
different.
On a good day. Let's put it that way.
All right.
What's happening in the markets?
So the Aussie was pretty flat yesterday, but the big standout event was that volumes were huge. So we traded $1.9 billion yesterday, and then two notable shares with big volumes. Firstly, Steinhoff traded five times its average daily volume. Sorry about
up
that.
Up or down?
Five times, so increased its average daily volume that it normally trades five times more.
Yeah, but does that mean the share went up or down?
Ah, okay. So the share was up 2%, and the reason for this is fairly obvious. It is being included in the MSCI EMEA Index, which is the Emerging Market for Europe, Middle East, and Africa Index. So this is pretty much the reversal of what happens when a country gets downgraded to junk status. Basically, Steinhoff is considered large and liquid enough to make it into this index. It's a global index. And therefore, fund managers who are benchmarked to this index will be buying the share.
Hmm.
It's a bit of a technical trade. Rebalancing of these indices happens every quarter and often explains why a share is climbing or falling differently from the market, for example. The other standout, though, was Sibanye Gold. The average daily volume of Sibanye Gold is about 4 million shares a day. Yesterday, 61 million shares changed hands. I mean, what is that? 15 times normal volume?
Wow.
So, yeah, very odd. I'm not sure if this is common knowledge, but Sibanye Gold was spun out of Goldfields in February 2013. And for the first time since this spin-out, Sibanye Gold registered a bigger market cap than its parent Goldfields yesterday. Hmm. So Sibanye Gold is now worth 52.2 billion rand, and Goldfields is 51 billion rand.
Wow,
very
okay.
Interesting.
Well, I'm very proud that they're a sponsor here on Cliff Central.
You should be. I think that's fantastic, actually.
Yeah, good for them.
And then, of course, the market is not liking this Barclays news leak or announcement, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
The share was down 6% yesterday, and results presentation is only today. So I'm guessing it was down 6% because...
Now, when you say it was down, is that the Absa share?
Yes, yeah, so it's the share is called Barclays Group Africa, BGA is the share code,
okay.
Because when they merged, instead of the Absa, it became Barclays Group
gotcha.
Africa. Yeah. Actually, they call it Barclays Africa Group, but a share code, BAG, is probably not appropriate.
Bag.
Maybe it is now. And then the JSE also released a sterling set of results yesterday. The irony of the volatility that we saw in December after Nene got fired was that trading volumes on the JSE actually increased. And not just in equities, but of course the JSE does currencies and derivatives, so hedging strategies as well as commodities. So, yeah, definitely gave the JSE share a bit of a boost. Revenue
wow.
grew by 20% year on year from 1.8 billion rand last year to 2.1 billion rand in this financial year.
Wow.
They made a profit of 900 million rand and are currently sitting on a net cash pile of 1.9 billion rand. That's quite spectacular.
What do you do with that if you're the JSE? Do you invest it in yourself?
Well, so this is the interesting thing, right? Because companies should never sit on huge piles of cash because it's a drag on their performance or returns to us. I don't give them my money to... sit on cash and do nothing with it.
Uh-huh.
But the JSE really is the only one of its kind at the moment, and then I say that. But one of the big issues we spoke about yesterday was that actually there are three other companies which have applied for an exchange license in South Africa. And, of course, Nicky Newton-Kings, the CEO, was asked what she plans to do with this competition. She's very confident that the JSE is way ahead of everybody else. I mean, which is true. You know, they have spent previously a lot of money on infrastructure and their IT systems and ensuring things like that the JSE never goes down, that it's a bad thing when the exchange kind of cuts off or the internet doesn't work or the data is not as robust as it should be. And she's saying that actually these competitors have got a far way to go to catch up with her. And besides, if she's sitting on 1.9 billion rand in cash, then if she does need to make changes to the system, then that's great. She's got the money to do it. I can't imagine she's going to use it to buy anything. The other thing that she could do with the cash is pay a nice special dividend, which would be very nice for shareholders.
Hmm.
So those are really her options, I think.
No. Go on.
And then another interesting thing, because these new competitors are coming in and saying, well, to be registered on the JSE is so expensive. In fact, to register on the main board costs at least 1 million rand a year. They've got the Altex, which is the alternative exchange for smaller companies, which is about 500,000 rand a year. So these competitors are coming in as cheaper offering, but the JSE is now going to offer something called Sub-Altex, which basically will be for the very small and entrepreneurial companies, because the JSE really is just a way to access cash for growth. So I think that's a fantastic initiative that they're putting in place, because it will kind of help entrepreneurs who have got good ideas and startup companies to be able to go to the market and expand their companies or grow their companies.
Can I ask you something? Why do you have the Dow Jones and the NASDAQ?
And the S&P. So,
and the S&P, yeah. What is that all about? And that's all in New York, right?
That's right. So they're all different indices, basically, and they are, the constituents are different. So in South Africa, we have the Allsy, which is the all share, the mm-hmm. top 40, which are the top 40 shares, the mm-hmm. most liquid large caps. We have the mining index, the resource index. We've got the Sharia index. We've got loads.
A Sharia index?
Yeah.
As in Sharia law?
Yes. So all the companies that are Sharia compliant on the JSE make up this index.
How does that do?
At the moment, not very well.
Oh.
Well, you know, the big companies that have done well in the last couple of years, SAB Miller, British American Tobacco, and the banks.
I got you. All right.
Non-Sharia compliant.
Basically all the vices.
Exactly. So that's all these indices are. They're just different constituents. So the Dow Jones is measured on market cap. So it's the biggest companies. It's the Dow 30, right?
Yeah.
But and then the S&P 500.
So in other words, it's just subcategories.
That's all it is, yes. It's just divisions or sectors.
All right. I got you then. Cool. What else do you need to tell us?
And then Bidvest also reported results yesterday. Brian Joffe finally announced that he is stepping down. But they are spinning out their food services business from Bidvest. So Brian Joffe founded this company in 1988. He's been chief executive since 2004. He's now 68 years old. It's about time he stepped down, quite frankly. He did make a point of saying, I'm not leaving. I'm here if they need me. I mean, Lindsay Ralph has been with him for 35 years and is more than capable of taking over. But I think people like to see that they don't like that sort of change. You know, it is Brian's company. He has built it up. Mm-hmm. So the share was down 1% yesterday. Great set of results, though. Headline earnings was up 13%. And then the last thing, because we keep talking about the FSB or the Financial Services Board investigating odd trades or if something looks a bit dodgy, and they announced yesterday that they will be investigating a company called, or a fund manager called Third Circle, because they ran a unit trust, and this unit trust lost 66% in 2 days in December. I know.
Imagine that. What do you say to people when you lose 66% of their money?
Oh, I don't ever want to be in that position. Oh, wow. No,
sure.
I can't imagine it. And there was no real reason for them to do it. I think they were invested in derivatives, which you are allowed to up to 5% of your investment for Regulation 28 compliance. But I think they must have had a lot more than 5% in derivatives. 66%.
All right.
It's not like the market was down 66%.
No, hell, that's terrible. Yeah. Okay, cool.
All right, we'll speak tomorrow.
Thank you, Anthea.
Pleasure. Bye.
Anthea Gardner with The Money Shot. When we come back, we'll have some news. We'll check in with Nina Hasty. She's going to be doing the news of this morning. I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be fun. And we'll also meet our guest for the morning. CliffCentral.com.